Yampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will rejoice with the latest offering. There are two or three items. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, significance of all these offerings. Ganna sarapaditena. Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganna sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaya pe pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Page 5. Let us now make the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offerings of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity, fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to the Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated, then we shall off the light, then you can have your meditation. Yeah? You can have half an hour of meditation. Okay, for those who still need instruction, I will give you some simple instruction. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed with the meditation. Okay, you just relax body and mind. Make sure you have a very relaxed physical body. Then talk to the mind. To relax the mind is very easy. Just talk to the mind. Allow me to have this half an hour of silence so that I can train this mind to develop the meditation. Whatever that mind wants you to think about or deal with, you can tell the mind, not now, after the meditation or after the class, I will deal with it. So in the meantime, allow me to have the space to develop this training of the mind to meditate so that it can become peaceful, relaxed, calm, with inner awareness. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Then close your eyes, silence everything. Maintain attentiveness or attention at the forehead. I will teach you a skillful means called mind sweeping method. It will allow you to have the ability to calm yourself down. And I will combine with loving kindness or metta so that you can have not only inner peace, inner well-being too. Okay. Silence everything. Just relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then just relax into every mind state that arises. If thought arises, just let it be. As long as you are able to maintain a relaxed state of silent inner awareness, you just silence everything and just observe whatever that arises and pass away. Just be with it. Silence your mind completely. Then maintain some form of attention. You move your attention to your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just relax, relax, and relax into it. Silent everything and just relax. Feel the forehead soothingly relax. No more tension, no more stress, no more tightness. Then you sweep your mind down to your eye muscle. Feel. Again, relax every tension or tightness that you feel. Feel all the eye muscles soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep your mind down, your facial muscle. Each and every strand of your facial muscle. Feel. Relax. Don't think, just feel it and relax into it. Make sure they are all soothingly relaxed, relax. Feel your facial muscle completely in a state of relax. Then in order to help you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. You can smile. You will have a lot of joy. There will be no more tension. That's how your facial muscle can automatically relax by itself. Then you can radiate loving kindness, following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, as you recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your body and mind. Then when you recite, be well and happy, feel your entire body, your entire being, your entire body and mind in a state of well-being and relaxed state. Then you can repeat this, may I, this body and mind of mine, feel it, be well and happy, feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells of your body and also your mind. Then you can continue to radiate. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it always have good thought, right thought, wholesome thought. May it always be well and happy. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all our loved ones. May all my loved ones, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful, always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May they continue to arise all the kindness and goodness, the good mind state and all the virtue within their own mind. Then you can extend this metta to all other beings. May all other beings within this vicinity of SS2, including all Kayanamitas within this particular way place, and all the devas, dharma protectors, non-humans, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this same metta to all beings within the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, then extending all beings within our galaxy, Milky Way, extending on to all beings within the entire universe, our whole existence. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. And may their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Eh? You can bring your attention back to your facial muscle. Just feel, and relax into every mind state that you come to feel. Your entire facial muscle, feel it soothingly relax. Then sweep it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then you silence your mind completely and sweep it down to your heart area. This is a very important location within your physical body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is also where the life force arises and passes away. This is also the place where your seat of consciousness is. So you just silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay there. Just feel and be with it until it becomes very quiet, very peaceful. When you can be aware there is no thought, then let whatever that arises just pass away on its own. If you are new, you are still not sensitive, then it's okay. You just feel your chest area, feel like you feel your forehead, feel. Then relax into it. Make sure each and every part of your heart area or chest area is completely relaxed, soothingly. Relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, silence everything and feel. Again, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen, do the same, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your leg, feel, relax. Then buttock, feel, relax. You can reverse the whole of the mind sweeping method from your buttock. Feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, sweep through, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your abdomen, silent, feel, and relax. Then sweep it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then to your heart area, chest area, silent everything, feel, again, relax. Then after that, you move it up further to feel your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, relax everything. Then your neck, feel, relax. Facial muscle, feel, relax. Then you move it up further to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. The next step is to stabilize this calm mind, this silent mind, or this so-called mind that is relaxed and aware within. To do that, you will have to use anapanasati, which is another skillful means. You train your mind to be aware of your in and out breath. Silent everything and just feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware of the in-breath. Breathing out, the mind is aware of the out-breath. So this mindfulness training is very simple. Every time the mind detects the breathing, just follow the mind and the breath move as one without thought. That is anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. For those who are new, the mind will wander off very fast. But don't worry. Every time it wanders off, you just silence everything, relax, and maintain attentiveness in front of your nostril to detect the breathing again. If you are patient enough, not long, the breathing will come back to you. Then as this anapanasati stabilizes, you will start to experience a type of peacefulness. We call it piti. Piti is a meditative calmness born of mindfulness training. When you can be mindful of your breathing without thought, you will experience piti, which is a spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness. Or sometimes it's quite intense. It like rupture inside your mind. So they call it spiritual rupture. Yeah? Or spiritual joy. There's a type of joy. You feel very good as you develop anapanasati. Then you continue to relax into it until this piti also become very, very quiet, very peaceful, more refined. Then you will experience another type of peace, which they call sukha. Sukha is spiritual blissfulness of mind. When your mind is so peaceful, it will transform into blissfulness. Then you will have the ability to have that experience of the mind in the state of blissfulness. Then you continue to relax into it and allow the sukha to continue. As you relax and become more aware, this state of sukha will also transform until the mind becomes very quiet and very, very peaceful. We call it pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, or the silent mind without any movement of thought. When you can reach this state, means you have progressed in your anapanasati, then you can just silence everything and relax. Just maintain that silence, the peacefulness, the silent mind, which is the meditative mind. And when you continue to relax and silence, this mindfulness will become more refined. As you become more refined, you will come to experience another type of transformation. That silent mind can detect even the very fine breathing. It's like there is no breath, but you can maintain awareness of the subtle breathing, the internal breathing. So I will leave it to you to train your mind to realize this state of sati, which is pasati, tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. And when that mind arises, you just stabilize it until you become very quiet, very peaceful and very stable. Then you use that mind to meditate. That mind, which is tranquility or stillness of mind, is a silent mind, the meditative mind. And that is the one that can understand many things. Okay, I will just leave it to you to meditate, to train yourself. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 or 15 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. You have to make use of the trained mind that is already peaceful, aware within, and silent to develop the daily mindfulness meditation. Okay, now we are turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas in this universe in their entirety. Let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhamman muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Ittipeso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo Anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Padang Pujami. Dhammang ujjimi. Sanghang pujjimi. Okay, you all can be seated. We will continue with our second session, which is the Diamond Sutta, the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. Let us turn to page 1, the opening verse. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page 153. We are at chapter 20 here. I read to you the other version, chapter 20. The other version is by this Alex Johnson. Namaste, Alex Johnson. Then after that, we will refer to Xuanhua's version. Chapter 20, Diamond Sutta. Subhati, what do you think? Should one look for the Buddha in his perfect physical body? No, perfectly enlightened one. One should not look for the Buddha in his perfect physical body. Why? The Buddha has said that the perfect physical body is not the perfect physical body. Therefore, it's called the perfect physical body. Subhati, what do you think? Should one look for the Buddha in all his perfect appearances? No, most honored one. One should not look for the Buddha in all his perfect appearances. Why? The Buddha has said, perfect appearances are not perfect appearances. Therefore, they are called perfect appearances. So this is the version by Alex Johnson. We'll turn to page 153. Xuanhua's version. I think they are quite similar. Subhati, what do you think? Can the Tathagata be seen in the perfection of his physical form? Subhati replied, no, world honored one. The Tathagata cannot be seen in the perfection of his physical form. And why? The perfection of physical form is spoken of by the Tathagata as no perfection of physical form. Therefore, it is called the perfection of physical form. So similarly, the second question, Subhati, what do you think? Can the Tathagata be seen in the perfection of marks? I think last week we have gone through. Within the physical form of the Buddha, there are these 32 special hallmarks and the 80 minor characteristics that is very unique to the Buddha. Sakyamuni Buddha at that time. So again, the answer by Subhati is, no, world honored one, the Tathagata cannot be seen in the perfection of marks. And why? For the perfection of mark is spoken of by the Tathagata as no perfection of mark. Therefore, it is called the perfection of marks. So this sutta, the words, like what I used to explain, they are like playing with words, and it looks like very abstract and very contradictory. But the actual teaching is not that way. So the explanation, we will have to see how Xuanhua explained. Then we will go through the commentaries. Then we will discuss it. Like we have discussed it in previous occasion before, even at the retreat, the recent March retreat, we have gone through many times. As we all know, the Buddha, Sammasambuddha, he is a very unique being. he has his very unique qualities, the nine great virtues, as we chant, salutation to the Buddha, iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho, and all those things, which we used to chant in most puja. And these are the qualities of the Buddha. So that's the reason why when people refer to the Buddha, they always point at the Buddha Rupang, which is the statue. So we all know, the statue is not the Buddha. Then why did the Buddha ask us to pay respect to the Buddha Rupang? He said these are the one of the four objects of veneration that you need to pay respect to. That's why we chant the four objects of veneration. Vandami cetiya sabbam sabbatani su patititang saririke datu mahabohim Buddha rupang sakalang sada, means the Buddha rupang that is everywhere. We have to pay our respect. The four objects of veneration, you are familiar. What are they? Apart from the Buddha image, what else? The Bodhi tree, very good. Then, what else? The stupa, the chetiya, where the relics are housed. And the last one is, what is the last one? Just now I mentioned, what is put inside the chetiya? What is buried underneath the chetiya? The relics of the Buddha. So all these are the four objects of veneration. You have to pay respect to them. So if the Buddha Rupang is not the Buddha, why do you pay respect to the statue? That's what other religion used to say. Buddhists are idol worshipper. You worship the idols, or what they call the statue. If you don't have the understanding, then you cannot answer their comments. So anybody want to try to answer that? Why do you pay respect to the Buddha Rupang? Why? Anybody want to try? Every day you pay respect, isn't it? Why do you pay respect? Why does the Buddha recommend that you pay respect? It's a meritorious action, you know, very meritorious. Why? What is the significance? Anybody want to try? Good. Alicia, Sadhu. She purposely come out of the meditation to answer Sadhu.
Hello?
Yeah.
Virtue, when women pay respect to for Pusa the Su, woman you call to mind.
Yeah, Sadhu. Very good. Virtue and all those things.
Compassion,
their wisdom. Very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because you can recall to mind the great virtue, wisdom, compassion, and quality of the Buddha, the nine great virtue. That's the reason why when you see a Buddha Rupang, you have to pay respect. But they remind you of his great qualities. And the other three objects of veneration is the same. The Buddha is the one that got enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree. That's why when you pay respect to the Bodhi tree, you have great respect and gratitude towards the Bodhi tree. Because it is the tree of enlightenment. That's why Bodhi is enlightenment. Bodhi tree is the tree of enlightenment. The Buddha became enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree. And that's the reason why we have to recall to mind and pay our respect to the Bodhi tree. So all this reminds us of the great qualities of the Buddha. Then the chetiya is supposed to be the symbol of the Buddha's enlightenment. Because the way they construct the Chittiya, all the essential Dhamma are there. You have the four foundations of mindfulness as a base. That's why it's the foundation. Then after that, you have the various layers up. You will see the seven factors of enlightenment too. Then even the Noble Eightfold Path and all those things. Then not only that, it houses the relics. The relics are the very special, you call it crystals. After the passing away of the Buddha, after they cremate the physical form, even some of the great beings, the great masters, they also have their relics. So this relic has its very special wisdom vibration or energy within. Sometimes it can be a very strong concentration. And for the Buddha, it is mainly the wisdom energy from the nature, the understanding, the great embodiment of his perfection. When the Sambhogaya Kaya, the spiritual body, come and combine with the Nimana Kaya, which is the functional body of the Buddha, then this animate into the Dhammakaya, the transformation body, or they call the Dhamma body, which preach the Dhamma, teach the Dhamma, share the Dhamma with the world. And because the Buddha, at the age of 35, he connect with his spiritual nature, he inherited everything. And for the next 45 years after his enlightenment, that spiritual understanding, the spiritual nature with all the vibration is with him. That's why it's very unique. That's the reason why the relics that comes after his parinibbana, after they cremate the physical form, it has its very great significance. It can help cultivator, even meditator. That's why when we go for spiritual trips, pilgrimage or whatever, you visit all the holy sites of the Buddha. The four holy sites in India that are of great significance are the site where he was born. I think that is Lumbini. Then the next one is at the place where he got his enlightenment. Then the next one, if I'm not wrong, is the place where he preached the first sermon. Then the last one is his parinibbana. Parinibbana, the passing away of the Buddha. So these are the four special holy sites which has the relics. Then the relics are divided into four quarters and distributed all over India at that time. Then some of these relics find its place over to Asia, and some even to America, Europe, and all over the world. So that's the reason why the four objects of veneration, they are very unique. They can bring forth great meritorious action, great benefits to cultivator. First you develop the faith, sadha, then the virya, then the mindfulness, followed by the samadhi, then the wisdom, the meditation, and all those things. It will help develop the spiritual faculties. So even though that one is not the Buddha, you can recall to mind all these great virtues. That's why it's still a very, very important object of veneration, where if you understand, you have the understanding, you can develop the faith, the great meritorious action, the great benefits that you can develop out of it. So that's the reason why you cannot find the Buddha in his physical form, in his 32 hallmarks, Because the Buddha is not those things. Those things are elements. They go the way of nature. From nature it comes, to nature it returns. Yeah. So the real Sammasambuddha, which is Sakyamuni at that time, is the embodiment, remember, embodiment of his perfection, his virtue, his wisdom, his virtue of love and compassion, and all the other great virtue. Then his perfection of wisdom, which is the Diamond Sutta, Prajna Paramita Sutta. So Prajna is wisdom, Paramita is a perfection. So the perfection of wisdom Sutta, and they call it the Vajra, wisdom sword. In Mandarin, they call it Jing Gang Jing, or the Diamond Sutta, because the diamond is the hardest element. So it is considered the most supreme. Mm. Okay? So that is the basis why the Sutta mentioned. Sakyamuni Buddha asked Subhati, can you find the Buddha in his physical body? That's why Subhati, who has the understanding, say no, we are not one. The Tathagata, which is the Buddha, cannot be seen in the perfection of his physical form. And similarly, the hallmarks, perfection of the hallmarks. Mm. Okay, before we proceed further, I saw in the Facebook, May, you can walk already. Walk so fast, sadhu to you. Oh yeah, I saw you sitting there just now. I thought you recovered already. Then I saw you move to the back. According to Facebook, wow, you got so much so many people reply, send all the all the well wishes, very good wishes, means very very good nature, very popular among friends and kayanamitas. What happened actually? Oh, you sleep. Oh, no wonder. Wow, according to your hubby, he said you cannot walk for the next 2 weeks or what? Oh, cannot run, can still walk. Okay. Oh, first one day also. Does it hurt you somewhere? The spine or what? Quite bad, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah. You need to lie down, you lie down, don't worry. Then those Kayanamita, most of you all, if you have seen the Facebook, you have known. She's still very cheerful. After the news came out, next day she still sit on the bench or table and smile. That's why there is so much understanding. And a lot of people send their good wishes. And wish her fast recovery, quick recovery and all those things. Yeah, your mom is also here, Queenie. Sadhu to you. Okay. We continue. Okay, we go to Shenhua's commentary, page 153. Perfection refers to the full, to the fully complete reward body, which is another name for the Tathagata's physical form. The Nimanakaya, they also sometimes call it the reward body, where it's karmically conditional. It's like the reward that you receive through your cultivation and perfection. And that one performs the function of a Buddha. So that is called the functional body of the Buddha. The word functional body is more accurate or more appropriate. The reward body also has its meaning. Means because of the Buddha's special perfection and quality, karmically he is rewarded in that life, that special body that has the 32 hallmarks and 80 minor characteristics that distinguish him from all other beings. That's why it's a very unique functional body. And I think the Theravada Sutta, they use functional body, Nimana Kaya. Whereas Mahayana, they like the word reward body. In Mandarin, what do they call? Pao Sena, is it? Pao is Guo Pao. Pao Sena. Subhati said that one should not rely on marks to discern the Tathagata. Why? Because the reward body and the transformation body are not the Tathagata's genuine Dhamma body. See? Shenhua also understand. The perfection of physical form of which the Tathagata speaks is the false name and nothing more. But those who become attached, but those who become attached. How come the English is like that? But those who become attached view. Those who become attached view it as true and actual. So from the point of view of common truth, the perfections of physical form exist. See? Conventional truth. Conventional reality. What is being spoken of is conventional truth, conventional what they call reality. So it exists. That's why within the conditioned world there is such thing. But within the unconditioned there is no such thing. As no perfection of physical form from the point of view of actual truth means ultimate truth, it is no perfection of the form body. Therefore, it is called the perfection of the form, the physical form. It is only when speaking from the point of view of the middle way that there is a false destination called the perfection of physical form. The Buddha then asked Subhati if the Tathagata could be seen by means of the 32 hallmarks. The physical form refers to the general appearance. Marks refer to the special feature or mark, the 32 hallmarks, and the minor subtle characteristics or minor characteristics. Subhati again replied that the Tathagata could not be seen in the perfection of the 32 hallmarks. Why? The Tathagata spoke of the perfection of marks, and those who could not transcend common truth took it as real. If viewed in light of actual truth, there is no perfection of marks. Therefore, it is called the perfection of marks. Ultimately, the Tathagata speaks from the point of views of perfection. Point of view of the perfect truth of the middle way, merely giving it the name perfection of mark, and that's all. So this is Xuanhua's version. The more accurate and clear version is the one that I share with you just now. Because the Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue. Everything that he has cultivated and developed. And that one, nobody can take it away from him. That's why you cannot just, by destroying the Buddha Rupang or the image, you think you can destroy the Buddha? If the refuge we take, you remember, we take refuge in the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. If the refuge you take is so fragile, can so easily be destroyed by people, then that refuge has no meaning. Do you understand? Because that refuge is eternity, the timeless. That's why it's a refuge safe. And the Buddha, just like during the early years, I think in, was it Afghanistan, the Bayan War. You remember they destroy all the great Rupang, the big one. They use missile and all those things to destroy it. Then I remember that time, there was a lot of hoo-ha from the Buddhist community all over the world. The paper came out, the internet, wow, they complained a lot too. That time, no WhatsApp, they email. So So I remember he used to receive email, and the Buddhist got so offended by all this. Then there was another case. They sent the email around. They call it the Buddha's bar. Remember? They put the Buddha Rupanga inside a pub now. It's an international chain, you know, who actually want to create a branding. So they thought it would be fun to put the Buddha's image inside a pub. then they call it the Buddha's bar. A lot of Buddhists got so offended. And I think they became so unhappy. And they wanted to argue and quarrel and demonstrate and create an issue out of it. If you don't have the understanding, the mind straight away react, because they fail to understand. The Buddha is not the image. What they destroy is never the real Buddha. Living beings are just the way they are. With delusion, they do deluded things. So they are just the way they are. If you have this understanding, you will still be at peace. You will not be offended. What people destroy are the physical objects outside of you. And a lot of people who don't understand, they used to allow the thought to create their own delusion, wrong view, and unnecessary attachment, clinging, craving, leading to all the suffering, misunderstanding, conflict, and all those things. So cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma, when you understand, is completely different. It is based on true wisdom, true understanding, leading to non-clinging, non-delusion, non-attachment, and all those things. So this aspect, hopefully, can help you in many ways. And we can extend this understanding too. If the Buddha knew that the physical body is not what he is, the hallmarks too, even though karmically conditional, but like we all understand, the form of mind is not real because it's impermanent. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No such thing. This is a complete delusion. The Buddha called it Sakkayaditti, self-delusion. And when you understand, you can break free. You will not be gullible. You will not attach, you will not cling, you will not be affected. So when it's time for the physical form of mind to disperse, to go, you have to have the wisdom and the understanding to just accept that reality. For it's not what you think. The physical body is just element, even though karmically it's connected to your nature, because it comes from your karmic nature. So this aspect of understanding is very important. The relationship between the unreal and the eternal. You have to have both the understanding from the unconditioned and the conditioned world. If you cannot have that, then you cannot have the real wisdom to cope with life. Life is incomplete. It is one-sided. You need the spiritual understanding to complement the materialistic success. So wisdom born of the unconditioned and wisdom born of the conditioned world, both must arise to complement your understanding of life. That's why in life we have this mundane aspect and the supramundane aspect. So the mundane aspect need the supramundane understanding to develop the understanding to understand life. so that you know how to make use of this form and mind which is within the conditioned world to live life. So this will complete the chapter 20. Do you have any question? Or anything that you want to maybe add on to? Can you all follow or understand? This chapter is not easy to comprehend. But because the way it is arranged under this chapter, it is meant for those who already have the understanding of the earlier chapters. That's why when they come to this chapter, they didn't touch much on it. Basically, when you have the understanding, there's nothing much to say. But to develop this true understanding is not easy. And to have the ability to really comprehend that the Buddha is not the physical form or the hallmarks, it's not easy. But you have developed the cultivation, the perfection, the wisdom and the understanding, then you will understand. How much time do we still have? Oh, still so early. 9:30 we finish this chapter. Wow, we still got almost an hour to go. Very good. Okay, anybody got any question or want to add anything? Come. The mic is here. Just raise your hand. Nobody. Oh, everything understood. Then maybe we move on. Chapter 21. Okay, turn to the next page. Wow, this one, the title, very interesting. Spoken yet not spoken. See, very abstract. That's the reason why it's called Diamond Sutra. We will look at the version by Alex Johnson. Subhati, do you maintain that the Buddha has this thought? I have spoken the spiritual truths. Do not think that way. Why? If someone say the Buddha has spoken spiritual truth, he slanders the Buddha due to his inability to understand what the Buddha teaches. Subhati, as to speaking truth, no truth can be spoken. Therefore, it's called speaking truth. Can you understand this phrase or not? Very abstract, isn't it? Abstract or not? We move on. At that time, Subhati, the wise elder, addressed the Buddha, most honored one. Will there be living beings in the future who believe in this sutta when they hear it? This is a very good question. The Buddha said, the living being to whom you refer are neither living being nor not living being. Why? Subhati, all the different kind of living beings the Buddha speaks of are not living beings, but they are referred to as living beings. By now, I think you should have quite a good understanding of all this, isn't it? Because this sutta is based on what? Sutta of? Sutta of what? Sutta of no? No mark. That's why no mark means when you penetrate this cultivation of no mark, then there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of a living being to take across. Then there is no mark of life, Dhamma, everything within the conditioned world. They don't exist when you understand. So that's the reason why the Buddha told Subhati, he said, what you call living beings is only what you conventionally, through the conditioned world's convention, call it living being. But the living being to whom you refer to are neither living being nor not living being. Where these are duality created by mind. Then Subhati, being the elders, the wiser elder, he wants to understand whether in the future, yeah, that's why he asked this question, most honored one, will there be living beings in the future who believes in this sutta when they hear it? So this is a question that Subhati wants to put forward to the Buddha. And the Buddha answered it very wisely, with a lot of very penetrative insight, yeah, regarding this Diamond Sutta teaching. Yeah. Then we look at Xuan Hua's version. I think it's quite similar. Okay, chapter 21, spoken yet not spoken. Huh? The sutta said, Subhati, do not say the Tathagata has the thought. I have spoken Dhamma. Do not think that way. And why? If someone say the Tathagata has spoken Dhamma, he slander the Buddha due to his inability to understand what I say. This part is not easy for people to understand. A more deeper understanding is truth cannot be spoken. Do you understand? Yeah? That phrase. Truth cannot be spoken. I better write it down. Oh, this one don't have English yet. Truth can never be spoken. This statement is a very important statement. If you can understand this statement, then you will understand why the Buddha said, yeah, he never spoke anything. Yeah. But to the conventional world, the conditioned world, you will definitely say the Buddha taught Dhamma, spoken a lot of truth, spiritual truth. But that word truth, what is this so-called truth? Truth is beyond what? What is the Dhamma all about? Akaliko. What is akaliko? Huh? Timeless. Beyond thought. Beyond mind. Beyond words. So whatever that can be spoken, like the Tao, Tao De Jing by Lao Tzu, whatever that can be spoken of or expressed is never the true Tao. You understand? Yeah? It's just like truth. Whatever that can be spoken is not the truth. What is being spoken is what? Whatever I share with you or what the Buddha share with you is what? It's words, isn't it? Words is not the truth, isn't it? Like the Dhamma, it points towards the truth. Understand or not? If you understand the Dhamma, then you can realize the enlightenment, which is the truth. And truth is. It's not words. So when you have that understanding, then you will understand why the Buddha didn't speak anything. Where truth cannot be spoken. But you need to use words to communicate, understand, to express, so that living being can understand. But the truth can never be spoken. That is the fact. What is truth? Whatever that explains the reality is the truth. And truth is not a word. Truth is. You understand this particular sentence or not? Truth is the isness of thing. Because this truth cannot be expressed, cannot be spoken, cannot even be talked about. It's just that reality. That's why it's called the truth. Both the mundane and the supramundane. You can use word to describe. It's just like Nibbana. You can talk about it, describe it, but it's never that real thing. That real thing, which is the real cessation of form and mind, Nibbana, that people realize, you cannot talk about it, because it's beyond thought, beyond words. It's the unconditioned. The form and mind that go through, realize it, will understand. But when it come out, if it needs to share with the world, then you need words. You need expression to express it. You can follow. Yeah? So this part, you need to develop the clear understanding. That's why the Dhamma, which is the truth, need to be realized. It's not a knowledge. It's not something that is rigid. This truth is the reality itself. The way things are. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Understand? Like all nature's law. Yeah. You can use a word to describe law of karma. But the actual law of karma is so complicated, complex. Got no name, understand? Like this whiteboard. You call it whiteboard. But actually there is no name. Understand? You cannot name it. The moment you name it, it's not a whiteboard anymore. Understand? It's just a word. And what is this word? Point towards this thing. Understand? Like the finger pointing to the moon. If you want to realize the moon, you have to look beyond the finger. Isn't it? Where that moon is the moon. The finger that points to the moon is not the moon. So likewise, the word that describes this is not this. So truth is the same. If you try to describe it, or you try to express it, then it is not the thing. Can follow? Yeah? So this one is easier to understand. Okay, then we go on to the commentary. We see what Xuan Hua say. The Buddha then addressed Subhati. Do not say that the Tathagata thinks I have spoken Dhamma. Do not say the Buddha has spoken Dhamma. I do not think like that. And you should not think that way either. Someone who says that the Buddha or the Tathagata has spoken Dhamma thereby slanders the Buddha. Such a person does not understand the Buddha Dhamma. If you truly have the understanding, that statement is very, very valid. Eh? It's correct. The Buddha spoke Dhamma for 40... Here is the difference. Mahayana record it as 49 years. Theravada record it as 45 years. Because underneath the Bodhi tree, and he was enlightened. He left the palace at the age of 29. Then for 6 years, he was going through all over the cultivation. Then after that, sitting underneath the Bodhi tree, he became connected and became the fully enlightened Sammasambuddha at the age of 35. Then the official date of his parinibbana is when he was 80 years old. 80 minus 35 is 45. But Mahayana, I don't know how they get 49. They always maybe add 1 year before you are born. Then when you die, add 3 years. Our Chinese way of cultivating. Because that is the only way I can think of. But it's not important whether 45 or 49. Maybe they like the 49, 7 times 7, 49. they always link to 49, even when somebody die. They also believe the 49 day, the spirit will come back or the Tao Chat, first 7 days. And they break it up into all the seven. The Buddha replied, the Buddha spoke Dhamma for 49 years, you say. Many suttas remain. How can one say he did not speak the Dhamma? So this is by way of logic. Then once Manjusri Bodhisatta asked, will the Buddha please once again turn the Dhamma wheel? The Buddha replied, Manjusri, in 49 years I have not spoken one word. How can you ask me to turn the Dhamma wheel again? Does that not imply that in the past I have already turned the Dhamma wheel? So this is the Diamond Sutta's way of answering Manjusri's request. That is what is meant by speaking and yet not speaking. Once Subhati was sitting in a cave, cultivating, and a god came scattering flowers. Who has come to scatter flowers? Asked Subhati. Then King Saka, Ting Kong, came and replied, King Saka has come to scatter flowers. Why have you come here to scatter flowers? Asked Subhati. King Saka said, because the Venerable One speak Prajna well. I have come to make offerings. Subhati said, I have not said one word. How can you say I spoke Prajna? King Saka replied, the Venerable One has not spoken, and I have not heard a thing. Nothing spoken and nothing heard. That is true Prajna. See? King Saka also very wise. Wise or not? He is just a sotapan. No? But he can reply so well. No? Did you understand King Saka's reply? You can understand? He replied so wisely. You know, because Subhati wants to test King Saka. Understand? No? He said, I have not spoken even one word. Why do you say I spoke Prajna very well? Prajna is wisdom. Because King Saka say he came and scatter flower. And the reason was because the Venerable Subhati has spoken very, very good Prajna. Yeah. Then Subhati says, I have not spoken even one word. How can you say I speak Prajna? But King Saka's reply was beautiful, isn't it? The Venerable One has not spoken. And similarly, I have not heard a thing. Understand? Where you say you didn't speak, that's how I didn't hear. Then after that, King Saka continued. He said, nothing spoken and nothing heard. That is true Prajna. Beautiful, huh? Nothing spoken, nothing heard. That is the true Prajna. Because both have this understanding of going beyond mark, understand not? Beyond words and all those things. That's why that is true Prajna. Means you have already transcend the conditioned world, transcend duality, transcend all mark. That's why when people with the developed level of wisdom, when they speak, it's completely different. Sometimes you cannot understand what they say. I remember during the early days, there was on one occasion, but I forgot who that guy was already. Because only myself and that guy understand what we spoke. Then when we spoke in such a way, people who don't understand, thought we were arguing, you know. But it was not, no. And it was the most beautiful. That's why after that we all just laughed. We all just laughed. Yeah, we understood each other. But the rest cannot understand. The rest thought we were arguing. And for those who have this special understanding and ability to, it's the same. I remember during the Vasti day, university day, we got a lot of very good chess player. This one happened to be Chinese school, Chinese educated, Chinese school. They are very good at Chinese chess. They can play chess in the class without chess board on. They can just talk. Then after that, checkmate, finish. We all don't know what is going on. But the two person already finished a few games of chess. That is to the extent how amazing things can be when you have that understanding. So similarly, prajna is the same. So we continue. You think it over, Senhua said. Nothing spoken and nothing heard is true prajna. Have you heard prajna? If not, that is true prajna. But Senhua didn't explain. In the same way, this section says, if someone says the Tathagata has spoken Dhamma, he slanders the Buddha. To deviate from the sutta by one word is to practice the speech of a demon. Yet to attach to the sutta when speaking is tantamount to slandering the Buddha. What should then be done? Why is it said that the Buddha did not speak Dhamma? It is because the Buddha is without a mark of a self, without a mark of others, without a mark of living beings. Being without all mark is being without a general physical appearance and without the perfection of marks and marks, without the perfection of mark. Since the Buddha is free of all mark, how can one say the Buddha spoke or speaks Dhamma? How can that not be slander of the Buddha? The Buddha simultaneously speaks Dhamma and sweep it away. He speaks it and sweep it away, just as if he was sweeping the floor. Who speak? Who sweep? Who speak and who cleans? So that every last bit of filth is swept away. So this is Xuan Hua's way of expression. Why is it slander to say that the Buddha spoke Dhamma? It is because someone who makes that statement has not thoroughly understood that the Dhamma the Buddha spoke is without any real substance. Dhamma is spoken because living being makes discrimination. If you make no discrimination, there would be no Dhamma to speak. So this is Xuan Hua's way of explaining. The one that I explained to you just now is more relevant, easier to understand. Because these are very abstract truth. Then the next part of the sutta said, then the sagacious Subhati said to the Buddha, world honored one, will there be living beings in the future who will believe this sutta when they hear it spoken? Sagacious referred to the fact that Subhati was an elder with wisdom and experience. The Buddha said, Subhati, they are neither living beings. They certainly are not living beings because they have already resolved their mind on the Bodhisattva way. Nor no living being. Although they have produced the mind of Bodhisattva, their cultivation still is not perfected. Since it is not perfected, they are not living being. They are not living being. On the one hand, they are definitely not living being, but at the same time, they still exist as living being. Why? Living being. Those who have the causal condition to become living beings are spoken of by the Buddha as no living beings. They are living beings who have resolved their mind on the Bodhisattva way and so are not common, ordinary living beings. So this one is just the way of expression. Yeah? Because as you all know, the form and mind is not you, understand? The form and mind is a living being, true enough, but it's not you. So when you have that understanding, the mark of a living being is a delusion, is an illusion. So that part Shen Hua didn't explain. The following words did not appear in earlier translation of the sutta, but were added in later editions. Then the sagacious Subhati said to the Buddha, World Honored One, will there be living beings in the future who will believe this sutta when they hear it spoken? The Buddha said, Subhati, they are neither living beings nor no living beings. And why, Subhati? Living beings are spoken of by the Tathagata as no living being. Therefore, they are called living beings. So this part, it seems according to Shen Hua, was not there earlier on, but was added in the later edition. In the past, there was a Dhamma master who fell ill, died and went before King Yama. King Yama is supposed to be the Gyamboong, king of the dead. Who asked him, after you were born, where did you go? The Dhamma master reflected and said, what I did most in my life was recite the Vajra Sutta. King Yama said, that's good. You recite the Vajra Sutta. Excellent. Sit down. King Yama then asked Dhamma master to recite the sutta for him. When the Dhamma master finished the recitation, King Yama said, your recitation of the Vajra Sutta was short by one paragraph. You will find the additional words carved on a stone tablet at Zhongli Temple in Hangzhou. Go there and find them, and then inform everyone in the world about them. You have worked hard in your recitation of the sutta. So although it is time for you to die, I will grant you 10 more years of life, so you can return to the world and encourage everyone to recite the Vajra Sutta. The Dhamma master came to life again and requested the emperor to send a message to Zhongli Temple to find the section of text. There, carved on the stone tablet, was the Vajra Sutta, and it contained the additional paragraph. Early translation of the sutta did not have those words, but all later editions contained them. So this one, I think, is Shen Hua's way of trying to explain to you how this particular section came about. In the earlier edition, this part was not there. Okay, good. We finished chapter 21. So chapter 22, maybe you go back and read it up. Okay, we stop here. What's the time now? Oh, we still got half an hour. Okay, we make use of this half an hour for Dhamma discussion. Is there anything that you want to discuss apart from this Diamond Sutta? The later few chapters, I think, is more abstract because this is for people who already have the earlier understanding. And our class, because there are quite a number of new ones today, if I continue this, I think they will be very boring. So is there anything that you all would like to discuss? Maybe something more related towards your cultivation or life. The mic is here. Anybody? You can also share whatever you want to share while I have a drink. Or anybody want to report your meditation? everybody so quiet. Where is Hui Rong? She got a lot of questions. Hui Rong? Oh, you heard it. Oh, how loud. Come, come, come. They're waiting for you to ask. Ah, can, can. Alicia Jiu Xing. Hey, you come to the front. Why did you go here? Today, Baba Suri, they are not here. You can sit here. Brother Dion is not here. They are in Shanghai. Ah, yeah, Alicia, yes.
I just want to ask you a question.
Which is very good. 很深就好啊。
然后我好像刚才你在说法的时候，我好像我的耳朵好像听不到，可是我的心在听，
在听啊，用心听，不要用耳朵听。耳朵是一个文性，算了。For those who don't understand Mandarin, according to Alicia, she wants to report her meditation. So nowadays.Her meditation become different again. He said it's like it has gone in deeper. I say gone in deeper is good. That is what meditation is supposed to be. Then just now he said when I was sharing the Dhamma, she was doing the meditation there right now. So normally is she is using her ear to listen. But today,She is using her heart to listen. And I say, using your heart to listen is the correct way. Because that is how you should listen. Listen with your heart. Because you listen with your hearing and you stay at the brain there, the consciousness at the forehead there, then that one is very near the brain. That one got a lot of interaction with the brain, the memory.That's why that one think a lot of sankara, a lot of views and opinion and conditioning. So when you think and listen from there, you are actually not listening. Where there is a lot of sankara activity going on. Then I try to explain to her, I said, you should listen from the heart. The hearing from the ear, E-A-R, your hearing organ, that one is just one of the senses. You have to develop clear understanding of how you function as a human being. So when you're silent and listen from your heart, the ear, which is a organ by itself, will receive vibration. Then the interpretation of this vibration come from your memory, understand not?Your conditioning or your understanding which you had developed through your learning, the early years and all those things. Then this one, when it come in, through all this memory or whatever conditioning that you have, you will understand it. But the way you understand it, because you are listening from the heart, you have the awareness. There is aware of all these things.So the listening actually can be at the heart. You don't need memory to let you understand. Because this word initially, when you listen from the heart, like I explained at the retreat, it's like not connected. The listening like bits and pieces. Because you are not used to listening from the heart. You are used to listening from the brain. That's why very fast you get it. I remember during the early day, during my cultivation, as I develop the understanding, I start to listen from the heart. Then when I do that, initially I realized this gap was there, but I didn't really let it affect me. I just have faith. I continue to listen from the heart. Then I realized after some time, not long, I think after about a week or two, all of a sudden I realized I can listen from the heart, no different from listening from the forehead or the brain. Yeah. And when I listen from the heart, there is so much clarity. Where there is no, there is less or little disturbance from the conditioning of the brain, the memory and all those things. Where it's further away. Then when you listen from here, it's most of the time awareness. There is clarity. There is complete listening, attentive listening. Yeah. And as you stabilize this understanding and develop this ability, it's like how you train yourself to listen from the forehead last time. Now it's from the heart. From the heart because it's not connected direct to the brain. So there is a gap. There is a gap, which is good. Because later on you realize you don't need all this brain thing to develop the perception of it and comprehension of it. You don't need. Then you can listen directly from the heart. Yeah. Then this one can go deeper. As you listen, you can be fully here. Initially, like 10% here, 90% still want to go out on the sound. Then later on, maybe 15%, 20%, then 80% still go out on the sound. Then later on, towards the later part, when you are already very skillful and you are already very adept to listening from your heart, you are fully here, 100% here. You are no longer up there. Then this way of living life is heedful living. It's completely different. And you will know, as you meditate, you will know. Because every time you need to create thought or sankhara, then you know the consciousness has to come out here. Then it has to create the thing. But when you speak direct from the heart, you don't need to go up there. That's why those who didn't attend the Sunday class last Sunday, maybe I share it one more time here. Last Sunday, there were some conditions because we are going through the Platform Sutta. It was on the topic, chapter 5, I remember, sitting in Zen. Sitting in Zen. A lot of people cannot understand. Then, what is the meaning when they say, you are meditating, sitting in Zen. In Japan, in Japanese, they call Zazen. Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. It's as if it's very complex, very complicated, very mystical. They use the word Zuo Chan, Chanting, Jingang San Mai, Samadhi, in Samadhi. What do you mean when they say sitting in Zen? Is it like a statue? No movement, no thought, nothing? No, Zen can be in any posture, understand not? So sitting in Zen is to be in a state of heedfulness, mindfulness, awareness. That is a Zen, that is Zen. When you are mindful, aware, without thought, you are in Zen. You are sitting, you are meditating. Means that is the meditative mind, which is the silent mind. Then I also share with them, I say, I used to tell you, remember, when I did the sharing, even like today or any of the other day, it's no different. You can see me like sharing, speaking, a lot of things come out, understand not? But inside that nature is still, no movement. Then who do all this? How can all this come out? It's just like the Buddha said, he didn't speak anything. But the nature didn't do anything. The form and mind say everything. But the nature is still, didn't do anything. This is the other way of understanding it. Yeah. Then I even hinted to them, why don't you all ask me last time? When I say, even when I share and say, inside is still, nothing. Then who say all this? Then how does all this thing come out if there is no movement inside? How many of you haven't listened to the recording? Oh, most of you haven't. You must go and listen. That talk was very good. Last Sunday, very, very good. He even talked about conventional truth, ultimate truth, the condition and the unconditioned and all those things, the duality, yeah, and how to cease the mundane mind. Because all this duality, yeah, good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, they come from where? Yeah? They arise from where? From your mundane mind, understand? Through wrong view, delusion, you discriminate. That's why you create the stirring of the mind, the reaction of the mind. That's why you got right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, like since you got God. So, if you create through wrong thought, wrong view, then you try to meditate using the thought to overcome that duality that you create, it's like doing the impossible. Understand? It's madness. You create wholesome and unwholesome, like sensual. Then you go and use the thought to polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. But you create the dust, understand? It's just like in the Zen analogy. Yeah. Even in some of the Theravada temple, yeah, that we have visited, especially the forest monastery, there's a lot of trees there. Remember? And you, every morning wake up, what do you do? Yeah? You sweep, isn't it? Sweep the leaf, isn't it? But the fact is what? The fact of the thing, the fact of the truth of the matter is what? The leaf will fall, understand or not? No matter how hardworking you are, how diligent you are, you continue to sweep and sweep and sweep and sweep, the leaf will fall. That is the reality. So if you cannot understand that, you will become affected, understand or not? You say, I have swept the whole morning and it was so clean, so clear. Again, the leaf fall. If I don't sweep tomorrow morning, sooner or later, all this leaf is going to fill up the place. So like Sensu, he doesn't understand. This is the reality. Even you create wholesome and unwholesome, defilement, unwholesome is what? Huh? He call it what? Dust. Understand? The dust are the defilement. But because your consciousness is trapped inside, within this physical body, so what will happen? Upon contact, what happened? Consciousness will arise. And if you are not enlightened, your views, your opinion, your conditioning will cause you to arise the wrong view. And you will input the content. That's how the dust went in. Well, you created the dust. If you don't create, what happened? There is no dust. That's why the Buddha said, it must mean sati, idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. When you create wholesome, then the opposite is unwholesome, defilement. Then it must mean asati. When this one ceases, if I don't create wholesome, there is no opposite of unwholesome. Understand? Then what happened? Means I have understanding. Thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. But these are relative truth. Right and wrong according to who? According to you. According to him. And these are not ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is people are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. There is no right, no wrong. Understand? So when you understand that, then you don't create. And when you don't create, you are at peace. That's why there is no more delusion. And you free, you liberate. That's why wisdom is not about doing. Wisdom is about understanding. The moment you understand, your mind liberate and free. Finish. Nothing else. So all the duality that you create, that you experience in this world, come from what? Come from delusion. That condition living being to stir and react and quarrel and argue. Through what? Duality. Created by words and concept. Words divide, like Krishnamurti say. So if you see all this, what must you do? Yeah? You have to reverse all this. Yeah? You have to go to the source. Yeah? The source is what? The mundane mind. The heedless thinking mind. The deluded mind that created all this. So if you have the wisdom, you awaken to it and know that this is the one causing trouble, then you can accept it for what it is, then it will cease. And when it ceases, it cannot create anymore. It cannot do all this. You will not be deceived or deluded by it anymore. You will not be gullible anymore. That's how you're free. That's how you liberate your mind. Do you understand? Yeah. Then coming back to the question, yeah, maybe some of you can try. Like I said, inside the nature is still, didn't do anything. Then who is the one that speak? Then how does all this understanding come about? How does it flow? From where does it come? It's not from memory. Where does it come? Anybody want to try? You remember last time, what did I tell you? When you awaken, that wisdom, where is it? Where is the wisdom store? I better draw it on the whiteboard. You use what to meditate? Huh? What do you use to meditate? There are two minds. One is mundane mind, heedless thinking mind, deluded mind. You cannot use that to meditate. That is the thought. Understand? So what do you use to meditate? True or silent mind. When there is no thought. And this is the one that awakens, understand, through the direct seat. It understands. But it cannot express it. But there is no word. It just understands. But because this one is connected to what? Connected to the... What is this follow? This fellow is you, isn't it? Your five aggregates of form and mind. Or you call it a human being. So when it's connected to this, that's why from the gateway, at your heart, that's why from there, you aware, silent. Then what happened? This one that is connected, that is connected because at the gateway, this is where your nature is, your true mind is. Then from there, this one awakened. When it's awakened, it's connected to the form and mind. Understand? So this understanding, born of this direct seeing, understanding. Born of the direct seeing this one is with the nature, understand not? So this one is stored in the nature. But this nature cannot come out and live life. You understand? That is the unconditioned. It's not something that you can talk about, express. Yeah, this wisdom, this understanding is not a word. You understand? It's just an understanding. The nature just understands. But it cannot be spoken, cannot be expressed. So what happens is, this understanding is connected to the form and mind. That's why you need a form and mind, which is a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world. Vehicle and a tool. Yeah, this form and mind is a vehicle and tool. You need this to come to this world. Then you need a form and mind to connect to your nature, the true mind, which is your nature. Well, without a form and mind, the gateway cannot be located. And you cannot connect. That's why what happens is, when the form and mind cease, what happens? When this form and mind, let's say you all call die, when consciousness separate or parinibbana, what happens? The wisdom or the understanding that is connected, so this one is the wisdom or the understanding that is connected, yeah? Also die, understand not? Because this is unique to this form of mind, understand not? That's why the cultivation is very difficult. Every life you come, you have to connect again and realize that. It's not when you come, you already have that. No such thing. You only inherit karma, understand not? Your spiritual nature, you cannot inherit until you connect to the silent mind, to the true mind. You understand? That's why when I share from this understanding which is connected to the form and mind. And that understanding is within nature itself. That's why straight from the heart, it just come out. That nature doesn't move. That nature is still silent. Even until now, no movement at all. Silent. But who speak? The form and mind speak. The form and mind is not me. Oh, sorry. This fellow is not me. That's why the Buddha never speak. You understand? Yeah. But that nature is not a being. It's not a person. And that nature can use this, the vehicle and the tool, to express it. To share. And this is the understanding that the world has not had. That's why now with the website, all this can come out in years to come, even after this form and mind cease or parinibbana or whatever. There will be beings who can understand this teaching. When they listen because of their past, they will understand what this form and mind try to express and share. It's just like how this nature of mind receive all this truth. While in this world, nobody need to teach this form of mind. This form of mind, the moment it listened or heard, it understand. Even Krishnamurti, after he died, when I listened to some of his sharing in the internet, it was so beautiful. Okay? Can understand? I think Adeline can understand. Which is very good. And some of you also can understand. Mimi not here. If Mimi is here, she can also understand. And as you cultivate, as you transform, you will have different understanding, completely different. Just like what I share at the retreat, the mind-to-mind seal, the direct transmission. No need words. Sometimes just a smile, the whole Dhamma is already transmitted. They call it mind-to-mind seal. Then sometimes just one statement or truth. The mind must have no dwelling. The understanding is there. Okay? Very good. Let us thank Alicia for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 还有 7 minutes. 现在你的时候 pass the mic to
Father Du, 我想要继续你刚刚讲的那个 因为其实我一直很困扰 就是为什么我坐在这边听 跟我坐在后面听 跟我回家听
不一样
完全不一样，一定不一样。那，所以我很 因为我每次坐在这边听，其实我回家都睡不着的。
对，
那我每次听 recording， 每个字我都听得很清楚。
啊，
可是
不一样，
我好像完全没有那种，我完全接受力是很少的。
我知道，嗯。
我一直很想知道为什么，我后来以为说是因为我在家里我会偷懒，我会乱想。那所以我因为我常常坐在后面meditation，然后我很刻意我也坐在后面听课，我发现也不一样。
不一样啊！
虽然我在后面我比较 relax，可是就是不一样。那
一定不一样，很好。你发现到那个是很好，嗯。
那
嗯，
我觉得是不是我在这边，其实我比较 silent， 然后我也比较我真的不知道。我很想比较出他的不一样
啊，
我也很想克服这个为什么我在家我听 recording 根本都不可以。
这个就是佛陀讲的 investigation，你一定要去 investigate， then 你就会了解。So maybe for those who don't know Mandarin, I will translate a bit. 你 off 掉了是吗？ Okay, 谢谢。What she say is, she wants to develop the understanding. How come when she is here sitting in front listening, and when she go back and listen to the recording,And just now she tried sitting at the back. That's why I can't find her. And I knew she must be meditating there. And she find it more like calm and more peaceful to listen from there. Because when she is there, she used that place for meditation, silent. So if you can remember, in one of the retreat, the same thing happened to Ingby. He initially cannot lie down.Lie down, go to sleep very fast. Then later on she tried, because she has faith in what I said. Then she tried. Then she was able to lie down. Then you remember, at the Cameron Highland, I was sitting in the center here, with all the author at the back, then you are in front. She went and sit at the far end there, the corner where we do our exercise on, at the very, very far end there. Very, the furthest end.And you know what happened? During that whole 2-3 hours I was sharing, she was listening from there. In that silence, in that meditative posture, you know what she told me later on? Yes, later on there was a question. Then I need to look for her because there is something related to her cultivation and training. Then I...realized she was not there. Then I asked, where is Ingby? Oh, the alarm. 10:30, or not yours? Oh, still got 2 more minutes. I sound the alarm again. So what happened was, she heard, and she came out of it, mindfully came back and sat down. Then I asked her to share. Then you know what she told me or not? She said, when I was there listening from there,It was so much clearer than when I was sitting in front of you. That is what you will be experiencing. You know why? When you are in the meditative state, silent, you listen from the heart. It is very clear, I tell you. Very, very clear. Because you are in the meditative state. Where when you sit in front, you know what happens? Your eye create a lot of vision.A lot of distraction. Then sometimes point finger here, or that person say something, that person. So you are here and there, understand? Because of your senses. So your meditative state is because you don't have that stability. If you have that stability, then you are not affected, understand? But because you are still haven't reached that cultivation of that understanding and stability,inside have not transformed enough. That's why it will be affected. It will be different. But when you are here, your faith is stronger. Then you can see me in person. hear the voice in person, you will receive it clearer. But when you are at home, you don't see me. You only heard the recording. And you don't know, especially if you don't attend the session, you don't know what is going on. Sometimes I point here and there the whiteboard. If without the whiteboard, if they don't take a WhatsApp shot, you don't know what is head or tail, so you don't know what I'm referring to. Sometimes I just point towards here. Look. Or listen from here. Then you don't know what breath that you is trying to do. Listen from here. But you don't see the action because you are not around. Understand? So because of that, it will affect you. It will affect your understanding. So that is how it can be different. But you don't worry. If you have that faith, the sadha and the virya, I tell you, even you listen at home, it's much better. You know why? You are very attentive. And at home you can pause. Understand? You can rewind back. Listen again. Well, I got those feedback from those who are doing my transcript. I think the two in Penang who are doing my transcript, she said, Pratyu is so different. When I do your transcript, I realize when I listen to your recording, I didn't really get to listen. Because a lot of things that were spoken so fast cannot understand. And like not enough time to digest, understand? No? You listen, you know it's beautiful, but before you can even understand it or reflect or contemplate, the talk continue, understand? No? Another topic already. Then he said, when doing the transcript, he can pause, finish the transcript, then read back the transcript. No? Oh, then the meaning stand out, no? Then the understanding deepen, no? Then can reflect and contemplate. Wow, no wonder Brother Teo say all this. But didn't have the ability to hear because haven't reached the understanding. But these are all so new. And they know it's so beautiful, understand not? The Dhamma is everywhere. So that's the reason why you need to listen attentively with the faith, even at home. Then write it down. When you write it down, it becomes very different. And for those who have the past, you don't have to write it down. I realize every time I hear some truth, the moment I hear, I no need to remember. No? Straight away go in. Like my teacher, Achayantra, always say, you think I remember? I never write down. I never remember anything. But when the time comes, it just come out. And like Surangama Sutta, perception of form is consciousness. Whereas it's non-perception is wisdom. No need to remember. The moment I saw the whole book, only this sentence, which is important. The rest not important. Even the 50 Dhyan Samadhi is not important. But this statement is so powerful where it opens up the whole thing. Then like the Diamond Sutta is the same. Heart Sutta is the same. Just a few words. So this is how it can be different. So this is a guideline for you so that you can investigate easier. Where when somebody point out to you, the understanding can come very fast. Then you can investigate very fast too. You save a lot of unnecessary detour and what they call R&D. Otherwise, you have to everything. You have to start all over again and do the R&D. But if the R&D they do for you research and design, if they have already done up for you, they do out the prototype and they even come out with the design. Then you look at it, improve on it and modify it is very easy. But to have the first idea of what this thing is very difficult. That's why you need a guide, is because of that. You need someone to guide you. It's because of that. Okay, we better end. I think we exceeded. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And we should thank both Hurong and Alicia. For the good question. That's why you all must ask. Otherwise here cannot come out. So this nature need condition to express the Dhamma or the truth. And this one is not from memory or the brain. It's direct from the nature. And for it to come out, it need condition. Because this is a conditioned world. If this is not a conditioned world, then we can learn very easily, different. I no need to say anything. You no need to say anything. We just smile. Then the Dhamma went through. But because it's a condition, everyone is different at different stage of cultivation. And you have your karmic uniqueness. And everyone is so different. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then let us rejoice by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones. Then we end. Okay, there is one message. Next week, I won't be around until Thursday. I will only come back on Thursday. I'm flying off to China, Xi'an and Luoyang. I will be away for 5 days. Me and my wife traveling. So 8 April until 13. But I will be back early morning, Thursday itself. So Thursday class maybe will be on. Only Tuesday class is affected. Sunday class and Tuesday class affected. So just for your information. Thursday class can be on. I will be back early morning. By 8 something I should reach home. My flight land on KLIA 2 at 5:30 a.m. Okay.